This is the Monday, November 15th edition of the Daily Wager Podcast. We've got you covered with a variety of action for this day. So settle in and we'll set you up in 10 minutes or slightly more with everything you need to know heading into the betting day.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Daily Wager Podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. Tyler Folger, man, Anita Marks with you on this Monday morning, as we always are, getting you ready for Monday Night Football by the Bay, NFC West Showdown, Rams and the 49ers. Rams land 3.5 on the road, total of 50.5 against the Niners. We'll, of course, have some props for this game in just a few moments, but first, side total action that you may have, Anita.
Yeah, I'm a little frustrated right now because, you know, okay, so first things first, I'm going to take the Rams -3.5. Probably my favorite play is the under at 50.5, and I'm going to get into all the reasons why. But I've looked everywhere to try to get the Rams -3. I don't like the hook. Who likes the hook? Nobody likes the hook. And the only thing you can do to eliminate the hook is -2.5 at like -140 or -160. It's too much juice. No, somebody give me the Rams -3. Can't find it anywhere, Tyler. Nowhere, anywhere. Zilch, zero, no bueno.
Yeah, the fact that this has come down a little bit, I think the Rams were 4 earlier in the week. It's now 3.5. That makes me a little bit more comfortable. Of course, I'd like to get to the round number of a field goal. But I do like the Rams side in this one, kind of like the Cowboys bouncing back after their disappointing loss last week. I see the Rams kind of doing the same. They're definitely going to be hurt by the loss of Robert Woods, and we can touch on that in a second and how it will affect our prop play. But now Odell Beckham is a necessity, not a luxury, that we'll have to fill in there offensively. The 49ers this season have not really been that good or consistent of a team. They're 0-4 ATS at home this season. Sean McVay usually bounces back from a loss very well. So I expect that to be the case here. Now, in this particular matchup, Kyle Shanahan's gotten the best of Sean McVay. He's 5-3 straight up, 5-3 ATS. But that was when Robert Saleh was his defensive coordinator and Jared Goff was the quarterback. The first 2 years of this, you know, quote unquote rivalry, McVay was the guy who had Shanahan's number. But the last two seasons, the Niners swept the Rams, and it was mostly because Jared Goff turned the ball over way too much. Now, we saw Stafford do that against the Titans. My guess, though, is that we will see Stafford play a better game in this matchup. He won't have those two awful turnovers that set up really short fields for the Titans against this Niners team. I think the quarterback more apt to turn the ball over and give the other team some extra possessions or short fields is Jimmy Garoppolo. So I see the Rams offense, especially Stafford, bouncing back against a San Francisco 49ers defense that is, you know, 22nd in the NFL in total QBR allowed to the opposition. And Matt Stafford, lo and behold, ranks first in the NFL by 4 points over Tom Brady in total QBR. So, and Garoppolo is way down on that list, and having Aaron Donald, Von Miller now, and Jalen Ramsey to get after Jimmy Garoppolo, I think is a recipe potentially for disaster for the Niners offense. So, since it's under 4, since we can have, you know, a 27-23 type of win, a 31-27 type of win, I would love it if it was 3, but I really do think if the Rams are the team I think they are, like the Dallas Cowboys did, just smashing the Atlanta Falcons, they'll bounce back and cover this game, because good teams win, but the Rams want to be great. It's not enough for them just to win this game by a field goal or less. They have to prove that they are a great team and win this by 4 or more.
Yeah, listen, so my plays right now are the Rams -3.5, reluctantly, because, you know, the best that you're going to get at -2.5 is -140. It's -160 in a number of places. And again, like I said, my probably the one bet that I like the most in regards to the game is the under at 50.5. This is the Rams. They have the third-ranked offense coming in, and now they add Odell Beckham Jr. Granted, they lost Woods. They have the fourth-best-ranked defense in the NFL, and they add Von Miller. Now, keep in mind, Von Miller, not a sure go tonight. The Rams have said they want to make sure that his ankle is 100% before they let him play. So keep an eye on that. But the 49ers' worst turnover margin in the NFL, Jimmy Garoppolo, 18% completion percentage inside the 10-yard line. And I know, Kyle, 4-0 against McVay, but you pointed out all the reasons why. McVay, I love this. He's 16-6 after a loss. So give me McVay 7 days a week and twice on Monday night. And the reason I like the under, pressure on Jimmy Garoppolo, it gets to him. And he's missing his right tackle. I'm gonna butcher his last name.
It's Mike McGlinchey.
There you go. Thank you. Quad injury. He's on the IR. Everybody's sleeping on Leonard Floyd. Everybody's talking about Aaron Donald. And let me tell you something. Leonard Floyd is a freaking beast. And I've been looking for the prop bet. I know we're going to get into prop bets for just in a second. It's not out yet, but over sacks for Leonard Floyd. Oh, man. It's probably like over one sack for Leonard Floyd. It's probably going to be my favorite bet. But again, it has not posted yet. Ramsey is probably going to man up or at least be 80% on Deebo Samuel. So he's going to take him out of the equation. And as you know, being a big Rams fan, you know that they're the number one rushing defense in the NFL. So that's a lot of reasons why I like the under, Tyler.
Yeah, I can get with that for sure. I definitely think this is a game where the Rams defense plays well against the 49er offense and makes it difficult for them to move the football. The other side of that is the explosive Rams offense with so many moving parts, Robert Woods out now and getting Odell Beckham back into the swing of things. Their running backs, Sony Michel and Daryl Henderson, have just been okay this year. They haven't created explosive plays. So I'm not sure they're going to bring, 30, 35, 40 points like the Cowboys offense did. So I'm digging the under as well. Now it's up to 50.5. All right, let's get to the prop market here. Anita, I'll just get this out of the way because I know you have a little bit more. On the Niners side, Eli Mitchell, I think, is going to be fed the football. I think, obviously, the Niners want to run, try and control the clock, keep time of possession. So I'm going to play him over 14.5 carries with no Jamichael Hasty going for the 49ers. And on the Rams side, obviously, I think the public play, what most people are going to do is turn right to Van Jefferson and play his yardage and over and his receptions over because Robert Woods is off now done for the year. And Jefferson is the guy, not OBJ, who will immediately slide into that two spot behind Cooper Kupp. But let's hear what your cheesecake menu has to say for tonight's props. I know you got a handful. You can just rip through both the Niners and the Rams.
Just out of curiosity, two questions for you. Number one, when was the last time you went to a Cheesecake Factory? And number two, what's your favorite thing? And what's your favorite? So wait, true story. I have a lot of family members who live in who live in the Valley in Los Angeles. So every year I'd go out to, in the summer, first I'd go out and spend time in California. And we would always go to the Cheesecake Factory. And like, I've been going to the Cheesecake Factory since I was like 10 years old. They didn't come out here to the East Coast until I was like after college, like mid to late 20s. And I've said to my parents, I said, why didn't you buy stock in the company? And then now they're gone. So I can't remember the last time I was at a Cheesecake Factory. And probably my favorite is the corn. Pâtés.
Do you know what I'm talking about? I don't know if I've had those there.
No. So, what's your favorite meal? The cheesecake.
I don't know if I've had the corn dish that you're speaking of. I'll have to put it. I mean, who has had everything on the menu there? They have 450 things. I did recently. I haven't been there. I've ordered it. For a food delivery service, and I had like a salmon and asparagus and the mashed potatoes. Kind of dinner delivered. It was pretty good, but it's been a decade right. since I've actually stepped foot in a cheesecake right. factory. So, we digress there.
I know. Let's get this podcast back on track. Okay. So in regard to the Rams, I love Matthew Stafford over 281.5 passing yards. Mm-hmm. Also over 2.5 rushing yards. 2.5. Are you kidding me? Now the 49ers, their pressure rate, one of the worst in the NFL, 28th. So what does that mean? They need to send 5. I do believe that the Rams are going to have a lead. What does that mean? Stafford's going to tuck the ball and run. I want to believe, at least in the second half and fourth quarter, to keep the clock rolling. So that's my philosophy there. And if it's only 2.5 rushing yards, I'm all about it. And you can get that at minus 120. Cooper Kupp, over 7.5 receptions. I still believe that he's going to get the volume of the target share. So I like that as well at minus 130. And I am all in with you, Tyler, on Van Jefferson. I got Van Jefferson over 3.5 receptions at minus 160, over 49.5 receiving yards at minus 115, over 19.5 as his longest reception at minus 120, and anytime touchdown at plus 175. Again, I do believe that he's going to be the number two in this offense. Odell Beckham Jr. has only been there for a hot second. Van Jefferson has run a route on 95% of the dropbacks. We were talking about it before we started the podcast. The Rams are running a lot of personnel, 11 personnel, which means three wide receiver sets. He's gotten 20 targets in his last three games. And the 49ers defense, 25th against the pass and 29th against the deep ball. So I am all in. I'm going to be using Van Jefferson, by the way, on a lot of DFS. And I'm also going to use him as a captain's pick as well. And I know you're really big into DFS as well. Mm-hmm. In regards to the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo, anytime interception at minus 125. And Elijah Mitchell, I'm with you. I think the 49ers are going to have to establish the run in order to make things easier for Jimmy Garoppolo. But this is a Rams defense. They're the best against the run. So I'm going under 80.5 rushing and receiving yards and under 2.5 receptions for Elijah Mitchell tonight.
So those are some props in the Monday night affair. Looks like it should be a good one with a lot to get to. Nothing posted that I've seen on Odell, if you're curious about some Odell props. But real quickly, just from a macro level here, how do you expect him to be used out there? With the Robert Woods injury again and McVay's preference for 11 personnel, there really isn't another wide receiver on the roster besides seventh-round rookie Ben Skowronek out of Notre Dame who has seen the field yet this season. So I think Odell will be out there for – you know, at least 50% of the snaps, if not more. They can't run as much 12 personnel as they wanted to with Johnny Munt on IR, their backup tight end, their blocking tight end. So I think Odell's going to be out there, and however they need to call plays, you know, to make sure that he's okay. I heard Rex Ryan talking on Get Up this morning that Odell will be out there and he'll play. And the way they'll call the play is, you know, they'll use the Rams terminology and then just whatever position Odell is playing, they'll say blah, 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 play call. X comeback or X go or X slant. They'll make it that easy for Odell and just give him the route that he's going to run at the end of the play call, since he's probably not familiar with all the terminology that Sean McVay uses. So that's coming from Rex Ryan on Get Up this morning. So I'm excited to see if Odell's going to play more than 50, 60% of the snaps. I think there's a decent chance based on what McVay wants to do. So do you think he'll be out there that much? And if so, what kind of impact do you think he can make?
You know, Tyler, here's my reservation when it comes to Odell. And I know Odell extremely well. Folks listening to this podcast, I'm here in New York. Prior to working with ESPN, I worked for the Giants. I was part of their broadcast team. I know Odell better than most. He's a freelancer. He was at LSU. He was at the Giants. He was at Cleveland. And that's where the disconnect, I believe, came in with Cleveland, in Cleveland with him and Baker Mayfield. I'm really intrigued to see how his freelance mentality is going to fit into Sean McVay's system. So I do believe Sean McVay is going to put together some plays that are going to accentuate Odell's talents and his ability. If the prop bets that are released prior to the game are Odell over 2.5, over 3.5, I'll take the over in receptions. If the prop bets that come out are over 5.5, I'm going to take the under. So that's kind of where I stand in regard to prop bets. I don't know if I'll play any tonight, to be quite frank. But big picture here, Tyler, I'm really intrigued. I don't know if this is the right fit for him. I understand why he chose LA. He's always wanted to play in LA. Mm-hmm. He's got a house out there. That was his motivational factor. I know he's not happy he didn't get the number 13. He had to go with 3. And oh, by the way, Cam Akers is getting the number 3 next year. So we'll see what happens next year. That's going to be interesting. But I have some reservations here. I'm not as gung-ho on this signing as most. So,
okay.
That's kind of where I stand.
First opportunity to see Odell tonight on Monday Night Football, potentially Von Miller as well as the Rams make the push for the playoffs. Real quickly, since we've gone so long in that Monday night game, we do want to get to NBA, but anything for week 11 that you're looking at this early on the NFL slate?
Yeah, I mean, a few things, and one that really stands out to me, and that is the Giants getting 11 against the Tampa Bay Bucs. Listen, there is something wrong with this Bucs team. There is something wrong with Tom Brady. They lose Vita Vey to injury. So, and also the Giants get Saquon Barkley back this week. It's a Monday night football game. I love that the Giants are getting 11. I want to believe that the sharp money is going to ride on the Giants, and this might fall to below 10, maybe 9.5 at kickoff. So right now on this Monday afternoon, when you're hearing this podcast, I would jump on this plus 11 quickly.
All righty. To the association now, pretty busy Monday slate as it always is. Anything that stands out to you in the NBA?
Yeah, let's talk about the Nuggets and the Mavericks. I'm excited to watch this game, right? Like, I my play here is under 209. Both these teams, a very slow pace, half court type of offense. They both have a really good defense. In fact, Denver's second best defense in the NBA. Opponents are only averaging less than 100 points per game against them. You've got Murray and Porter Jr. who are going to be out. KP, good defense. He's got the length to contend, especially in the paint. Dallas, they're on their second game of a back-to-back, and their unders this season have hit 8-4. So my big play tonight, I love this, is the under of 209 in the Nuggets-Mavericks game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I do like the under in that game. It is a low total, but these two teams can really slow the pace down as they like to do. Both of their offensive stalwarts are guys who like to operate in the half court. Luka Doncic on one side, of course, Nikola Jokic, the MVP, on the other side. So possessions take a while. They're not gunning, you know, 6 seconds into the shot clock. I like the Nuggets side as well. The Nuggets have been awesome this season, despite all the adversity. Michael Porter Jr. now out on the shelf, joining Jamal Murray. We know the suspension that Jokic has had, but even with all those guys out, Jokic has been playing at an even better level than he did last year as an MVP. I think they're second or third right now in the Western Conference at 9-4, something like that. So with the Nuggets getting 4, 4.5 at some shops, I will take them as an underdog because Jokic is a guy who can single-handedly will his team to a victory. And so far this season, Dallas hasn't been a team that's been good covering the number. Another interesting game is the Bulls at Staples Center visiting the LA Lakers. The Lakers are a 1-point favorite with a total that's dropping. I'm just going to stay away from the total, but I'll take the Bulls as a one. I'll put the point in my pocket with the Bulls. I think they can win this game outright. They're a complete team. No Nikola Vucevic, though, is a little concerning for matching up against Anthony Davis. I think Davis is going to have another monster game, 30 points, 15 rebounds, you know, 5 assists. So if you're playing daily fantasy tonight, I think he has a great cash game and tournament staple. And if you want to go to the prop market, I think Davis is going to have a very full and robust stat line with Vuce being out for the Chicago Bulls. But I do think the Bulls have enough ancillary pieces. LaVine as a scorer. DeMar DeRozan has been playing at an MVP caliber level. Alex Caruso, the Caruscoat, is back at Staples, and he'll get a few big ovations, I'm sure. But I think the Chicago team, as currently constructed, even without Vucevic, is just slightly better than the Lakers team without LeBron James, without Trevor Ariza, without a few other pieces that they're still missing. So I will take the point in my pocket with the Bulls. And I think if you want to sprinkle some on the money line there, I would do that as well, because I think they're going to win this game outright. Obviously, I wouldn't put a point in my pocket if I didn't think that was going to be the outcome. So that's the way we're looking at the NBA slate tonight. Another very robust Monday morning Daily Wager podcast with Tyler and Anita. A little bit more than 10 minutes of the bets you need, as promised, but should be a fun Monday night football game and some NBA to dive into as well. Please do us a favor and don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe if you're enjoying the show. It helps us out tremendously. And we'll talk to you tomorrow on the Daily Wager Podcast.